Well, it is episode 17, The Prodigal Son Returns. That's right, Kelby May, the person that no one really knew who he was anyway. He's back on the show. It's so exciting. We just wrapped week 8. We're going into week 9. LCS is like skidding to a stop in a little bit as we head into playoffs. There's so much to talk about. And guess what? Tonight, it's all about you guys. It usually is, but it's even more about you guys because we're just here to talk to you, to hear what you want to say, all that and more, starting in just a second.
Hotline League is brought to you by Omen by HP.
Well, here we are. We're back. Kelby and Mark, who can now officially talk because I've finished the intro. Mark Zimmerman, my constant co-host of the show. How's it going, Mark?
It was great until I ran into you on Sawtelle 2 nights ago.
Yeah. I mean, I had left the country for a little bit and then...
You left the country?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. You told me you ran away to, what was it, Vancouver or Toronto? Yeah.
Vancouver.
Because you hated your life.
Yeah, exactly. This cherished life. There's just too many angry Twitch comments, I think. They all got to me.
Oh, the one where you had a 50-50 ratio on the video?
Yeah, that one. Well, that's YouTube
channel.
That's, yeah. We've recovered. Okay. I've left. I've gone to Vancouver. I'm good. How's your week been?
It's going.
Jeez. Is it ever not going for you, Mark?
You know, I don't think I haven't had a week go by yet.
You haven't had a week go by yet?
Yep.
They always go by? That's good. I mean, that's what you want.
I guess I'd be dead if I didn't know it was going by.
Yeah.
Or in a coma.
Unconscious.
And then a lot of weeks would have gone by real quick.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're glad that you're conscious and on the show with us, Mark, and really helps facilitate the production whenever you're alive. Kelby May's making his triumphant return. He's looking extra pink today. I don't know if the brightness on the light near him is a little strong. I'm not sure, but welcome back, Kelby.
It's good to be back, man.
Yeah.
I'm excited to talk with you guys and some fans about League, especially since I get to come in at the very exciting part.
Yeah. Well, right now you look like a character from Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'm not sure what's, why are you so pink? Why, I feel like it,
I don't know. I just haven't here.
That's helping.
An open window.
Yeah. That's really good. Did you have like pink on the other window? I don't know.
No. I just didn't have the other monitor like displaying anything bright.
Okay. Well, yeah. Either way, there's so much to talk about. Kelby, what have you been up to? Because it's been a bit.
I just been working, chilling, playing a lot of games. PUBG, Dota, Rainbow Six Siege now. I got into Siege really heavy recently. And I have a new shout out for the end of the show.
Okay.
Well, it's not going to be a Chainsmoker shout out this week.
Everyone on the East Coast, everybody staying awake at the crack of dawn in Europe, they're going to stick around for the next 2 hours to find out what your shout out is. I'm sure people can't wait. All right.
I'm excited for this week, though, because we're actually going to talk about games.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Don't tell me there's not some surprise guest. Who's like,
surprise guest. We actually have the CEO of, I was going to, Omen by HP. We're just going to talk about Omen by HP stuff on the show today. No. We're going to talk about the games. And Mark, I know that's what you like to talk about. Is there anything else? Like, okay, so right now as we film this, Sneaky is dressed up as Elementalist Lux.
You told me not to bring it up.
I know, but
and then you bring it up.
People can have
it
on
for himself.
They're not watching that stream for the gameplay. They can mute it and listen to this and watch that. But I think that's it's nice. It's nice to see that in League of Legends. Well, do you have any thoughts, Mark?
No, I've been around my fair share of
Elementalist Lux.
I was gonna say cross dressing recently. Just like with the offline TV stuff, we've had a number of videos where people have wigs on and stuff recently. So
yeah,
that doesn't even faze me at this point.
Yeah.
My only problem is it's like it's everywhere on Twitter right now. Like there's got to be something else going on today. And all I see is fucking Sneaky.
Yeah. Just now, Corey Lulu has a solution for this show and how we're going to be able to compete. He just linked it here. I'm going to drop it in on the screen. This is, I guess, what the show should look like. Actually, for some reason, the image isn't resized, but you guys get the point. We'll just make it like this. No,
yeah, I think there's probably some rules against restreaming content.
Yeah, we just take his webcam box and drop it into my my window, it'll be good. No, I mean, so it's funny because we haven't been talking too much about the games and the weeks and all that stuff, any of the hot topics, but it kind of feels like it's been a bit, obviously there's a lot to talk about with games. We're going to get to that in a second, but it does feel like that all's quiet on the Western Front. There hasn't been too much drama or any kind of weird stuff been going on, Mark. I mean, I don't know. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I guess I thought you were going to say by all quiet on the Western Front, stuff's not happening with games, but in terms of drama, yeah, there doesn't really seem to be that much. The only thing I can think of is maybe some of the alt stream stuff.
Oh, was that dramatic?
No, it wasn't dramatic. It was like, I don't know if you saw, but like Reddit's interpretation of what Steve was saying was pretty funny, where they're just like, oh God, Kane.
Oh, was he was criticizing the coach?
He was on the alt stream and he was like, why the fuck are we picking Varus and like all that stuff. So
So Steve is on the alt stream criticizing his own team's decision making.
Yeah, it was funny. It was more funny than serious, I think.
Oh, okay. So he was just trolling. It's good because
he was like not trolling, like, haha, just kidding. But I think he was kind of annoyed at the draft or whatever. But
yeah.
I don't think Reddit was like being serious about it. I think everyone was just laughing at Steve, like groaning because they lost pretty badly to TSM.
Yeah, that's just, you don't want Steve. Like Steve, I feel like has taken so many hits over the years from Andy and Jack and all those guys. So to make him like, I mean, obviously this was not Riot's conspiracy, but having him on the alt stream while his team is just slowly getting brutalized by TSM in front of his eyes is probably a pretty brutal situation for him.
Especially like he got him once in week one. And he's like, yes.
Yeah.
And just like slowly TSM gets better and slowly TL goes from like 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5, 6. And it's like, oh God.
Yeah. Really quickly, by the way, shout out to Blood's Point in the Twitch chat who says, met you on Saturday, told you my wife and I watch your show when we relax at night. So here we are enjoying your show again. Keep up the good work, man. Thank you, Blood's Point. But back to Steve. I'm actually going South by Southwest this week and I'm doing
With Steve?
Yeah. So Steve, I'm doing like a talk with Steve and then also talk with Sam from Fnatic two different days. And so that's funny. I'll give him shit for that ahead of our chat. And it'll just make it super tense and awkward.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. Anything else that we're missing? Anything else we need to talk about?
I'm trying to remember if there's any drama really going on around the teams. I don't think I know of any that was public.
Do you know of any that was private?
Well,
yeah. That's some funny stuff.
By the way, Kai'Sa got announced, and we never really talked about that. Now she's out.
She's not going to be played in playoffs. She's banned the whole... You won't see her until MSI.
Really? She's banned until MSI?
Yep.
Damn, son. That's crazy. Okay, well, that makes her irrelevant.
yeah, sorry.
Vietnam is now an independent competitive region. We didn't touch on that. That happened a couple weeks ago. And that's kind of cool because Gigabyte Marines are awesome, and I feel like people just figured out a way to get them into every competitive event.
Their player base is fucking massive too.
Yeah.
So I think that's the bigger reason. It's like, well, their best team looked decent and they have a huge ass player base. So There you go. People keep saying LCK drama. I'm not sure what they're referencing. Does anyone know?
I assume all the SKT stuff or whatever, though that's kind of dated. Either way, let's just get into calls.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. So if you guys have not watched the show before, the way this works is we have a Discord called Hotline League. I'll be posting it in the Twitch chat right now. And you're going to want to join that Discord. You will have to join the general voice channel or general 2. And then you're going to post your takes in the general text channel. And the reason we want takes instead of questions or, you know, I want to talk about Team Liquid, blah, 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 blah. Ideally, you say like Team Liquid's fine or Team Liquid's not going to make playoffs or they will make playoffs and get smashed in the first round. So give us more what you're thinking. So when I bring you on, I know what you're going to say or what you're really thinking about. So with that said, I can begin polling people if Travis has his little sub sellout.
Oh, yeah, my sub sellout thing. If you are a sub, there's a sub chat channel that you can hang out in and you can put your question in there. Mark and I keep an eye on that. And so it gives you a little bit of an advantage of getting picked. But if you've got a bad topic or something we can't really talk about, you know, obviously that's not going to end up working out for you. But yeah, Kelby, do you have anything you want to add? You've been very quiet. Are you still wrapping up your Rainbow Six Siege game?
I'm chill. No. I'm just waiting for the calls.
Okay. Actually, here's Kelby. You can talk to me a little bit about this while Mark rambles and stuff. And I'm actually kind of curious about Mark's thoughts on this.
All right, I'm listening. Well, not listening.
Is this little game called Fortnite?
Oh yeah.
Gonna kill League of Legends?
Absolutely not.
Wait, really?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, what do you mean kill League of Legends?
Yeah, I guess that's what my question was going
to
be.
Yeah, I just wonder how. So one of the things that, okay, I'm not trying to be dramatic.
Ninja has more viewers than the LCS.
Yeah,
yeah, Ninja does have more viewers than the LCS.
I had a really good meme about that this
week. No, but I missed it. One of the things go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go for it.
No. I was just going to say that I put it in our chat for you to post, but nobody posted it.
Okay. Well, I think the only reason I bring this up is I think I cannot think of a time other than when a game comes out for the first time, like probably mm-hmm. like when D3 came out or like sometimes like when a WoW expansion comes out that something really big that just consistently overtakes League of Legends on like the Twitch following page for a long time. And I feel like this game is doing that, but it's not like some epic single player game. It's not like some game that I feel like you play for a little bit and you kind of get over. I'm just wondering, and again, like, I don't think League always needs to be number one, and I'm not trying to be doom and gloom or whatever, but it is an interesting thing to me here. Like, people all thought that Overwatch was going to do this. I didn't think that, but I do think Fortnite could actually maybe overtake League if the esports stuff gets handled correctly.
So here's my take on it, is that ultimately, League success is just really based on its viewership. Like, and you have to say,
it's viewership or player base, you mean?
As an esport, it's viewership.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I should have clarified that. But yeah, so then do you think that Fortnite is drawing away viewers from LCS? I don't really think so. I don't think that LCS's viewership is being impacted by Ninja streaming or not. I think that even within the Battle Royale space, I think that Fortnite and PUBG can both exist successfully because I view it kind of as analogous to League and Dota, where they're both such separate games that you will have people who are naturally more drawn to one than the other. But I mean, League, even if Fortnite has better viewership, if League's viewership is doing well and continuing to grow, does anybody care that Fortnite is doing better? I mean, not really, unless you think that it's hampering your viewership of your title and it's taking away sponsorships from your space, you know.
I think we have yet to see Battle Royale esports done correctly yet. Yeah. Like, we've seen some cool examples where it's like, oh my god, 100 man arenas, and like it looks cool, but like no one's actually like putting out a real product. So I don't think the esports space should be worried about that in general, let alone the fact that it hasn't even like started really happening yet. I think
Battle Royales are tough to do, man. It's hard.
I don't really know how you make it. Like, they can't even get their fucking scoring systems figured out, let alone like viewership experience.
Is there a chance that if people stop playing League of Legends because they're going to play Fortnite, that because they're not playing League of Legends, they're less likely to watch League of Legends esports, and thus Fortnite can drain League viewers that way?
Well, so that's where I think that's why I asked what you were concerned about, because I'm not concerned about it from an esports like versus esport perspective, but from a player base, like, sure, Fortnite is blowing up. It's doing great. I don't know how it's doing in other markets that aren't just like North America, but, you know, like League is huge in Vietnam now. It's huge in China. It's slowing down in Korea. I haven't looked at the PC Bonk stuff, but it retook Overwatch, then PUBG overtook it. And I think PUBG dropped back down. Like, games become huge and die off sometimes pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, PUBG is.
Yeah,
I don't. Let me see which one's bigger right now. But like PUBG,
Fortnite's bigger than PUBG.
No, I meant between League and PUBG. Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry. PUBG is. I don't even fucking see it. There's 11,000 people playing it, and like, you know, 6 months ago we were like, oh my god, PUBG is gonna take over the world.
Yeah.
And now it's 150,000 on Fortnite versus 11K.
Yeah.
So
Fortnite is eating PUBG's lunch, and then you got freaking H1 trying to do their own pro league as like the very, very distant third battle royale.
Yeah, H1 is like ambitious. The Heroes of the Storm of the
right, exactly.
Of the battle royale genre.
It's actually the perfect analogy.
Yeah, so I think, you know, if they do free to play well, if people enjoy that, then like a lot of people's casual, I'm going to boot this up and play a game might switch, or more people might switch from League to that, and that would be a cause for concern. But not like for the entirety of League esports, maybe just North America. Because like I said, I don't know what the how they're performing in Asian markets.
Yeah. Although if you don't have NALCS, what do you have? You know,
it's true. All right. You want to start grabbing folks, Mark?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll test them.
We'll get into
the first person I grabbed left, I think. What the fuck?
I love it when people do this to you. It's always so great because I'll just be like, oh, he left. It's just great whenever Mark is constantly battling with the viewer. I'm just like, where are the people, Mark? He's like, they just leave. They just randomly leave.
I don't want to ask my question anymore.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to talk about Fortnite.
Ninja's streaming with Drake.
Wait, what?
No.
Ninja's supposed to stream with Drake in the next couple days. Potentially, it's been rumored.
Bitch, I only stream with T-Pain. Drake's bigger.
Whatever. Fury is on the show. Where are you calling from, Fury?
I'm calling from South Florida.
And welcome to the show. Are you, wait, did you call in before and talk about Miami?
No, I honestly don't have time to go to that final, although I wish I could, but,
are you going to Ultra at least?
No, I'm not. My friend who would have gone to it is up in Virginia, so.
Are you going to leave your house in the next 6 months?
Yeah, what?
Yeah, I have a job. I'm going to be moving.
Oh, okay.
Do you work from home?
No, I'm going to be moving. My job starts in 2 months.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that you're moving, unless you're happy to move.
Oh, yeah.
We're all here for you, Fury. It sounds like you're going through a lot. And that's what we're calling you here right now. Let you know that we're here for you.
I'm moving to Denver.
Okay.
Nice.
Cool. Well, in a couple months when we're doing the show and Fury calls in from Denver, I will completely forget this conversation happened. What do you want to talk about on the show today?
Yeah, I think Echo Fox isn't a top two team, but will have a free ride into finals.
Into finals.
Damn, son.
Okay.
Wait, why do you think this?
Yeah, so if you look at the standings right now, you have Echo Fox and Cloud9 first and second, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is that Echo Fox has the head-to-head first Cloud9.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they both 2-0, Echo Fox will get first place. And then you have to look at playoff seeding, which is that the first place team will play against the third place team and the sixth place team.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very likely that Echo Fox can 2-0 the week.
Do they not reseed people?
I think they do dynamic reseeding.
Yeah, they do dynamic reseeding now.
But either way, his point is that they'll bump into someone in semis that they can beat, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like for Clutch, for example, I think they have a very good matchup versus them. So I think that with Echo Fox securing the first seed, all they have to do is just, you know, focus on FlyQuest and 100 Thieves. Like Echo Fox should be able to take that 2-0 and not have to worry. So,
damn.
Man, their bot lane's really underrated, though.
The Echo Fox bot lane?
No, I was trolling because that caller called in, remember, and was like, man, they're underrated.
Yeah,
I thought you were talking about 100 Thieves. Yeah, Echo Fox bot lane's trash.
Yeah.
It was a joke to call back to that.
Yeah. Hey,
sorry, can I go forgotten back to one that. Thing real quick? So who do you think they're gonna face who in the semifinals? 100T?
100T or Clutch is what he was saying, right?
Yeah,
if they Clutch. Oh god.
Yeah, I think they're good versus both.
Man, what
it's hard because the dynamic reseeding I think makes it so that they could potentially play against almost anyone.
Yeah, but I think Clutch is all but assured to get third place as long as they 1-1 or 2-0, because Clutch has the head to head against TSM. Yeah. So even if TSM, you know, they're on a rampage right now, but even if they 2-0, Clutch is fine to get third place. So doesn't that mean that they're most likely to fight Clutch in the third place?
No, because
with dynamic reseeding, they get the lowest seed come semis. So it's much more likely that they play TL, TSM, or 100 Thieves.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think...
I mean, that only helps his case, though, is that in a world where they...
Well, he thought they're going to play Clutch.
Yeah.
And I mean, Clutch would dick a solo in a series.
That would be absolutely brutal. And then versus TL, I feel like
Echo Fox Clutch just beat Echo Fox this weekend.
Sorry, you go.
Oh no, no, I was just saying, you know, that's an interesting point there, Travis.
I mean, who do you think is better, Echo Fox or 100 Thieves, TL, or Clutch?
Well, one of the questions is, who's better in a series? And I think there's a pretty good chance that, like, one of these other teams could be better in a series than in a best of one.
Which one do you think would be best, then? I think TSM is... They could probably just run straight to the finals.
Yes.
I think I'm worried about TSM. I'd be worried about actually Clutch as well, because Fevevin can match up fine versus Phoenix. Dardock's better than Lyra. Huni's better than solo, but then their bot lane's worse than the Clutch Gaming bot lane. So you're basically like, can Huni and Dardock carry? And we saw they couldn't quite do that. I think that game was a little bit of a weird one because there are so many skirmishes that Echo Fox would traditionally win that they just didn't get more than one kill. So that game was I wouldn't say that's going to happen every time, but I would be a little worried.
I think the issue is mostly just Warmogs, top laners, and junglers. Like, you see some really stupid champions like Jarvan rushing second item Warmogs with Cinderhulk. And then every single team fight that happens is a full health team fight. So then you have these defensive supports like Braum and Tahm Kench. And it just makes it so that it's really hard to actually pull a meaningful team fight win. So you have these low kill fights going on, and games just get pushed to late game. But I think if you were to just say against Fevevin, if you just ban three mid laners against him, I know it's not meta, but if you just ban three mid laners against Fevevin, what can that team do otherwise?
Pick Sion on top, and then who knows?
That's true.
I guess he'll play Draven. I don't know.
But I mean, Huni has showed that he can't just play carries. He can play tanks.
That's not good in a playoff if, like, your tank versus my tank. I mean, he'll play Trundle. Play like something else. But I'd be worried if you're giving up Sion to ban out three mid laners. And Febby's good, dude. Like, he's borderline like MVP discussion right now.
Yeah, he's one of the best mids for sure right now.
Yeah, so I don't know. Also, that we didn't even talk about 100 Thieves very much. Like, Cody and Afro and Meteos shit on bot lanes all the time. Ryu kind
of
sucks.
I know of a really good AD carry on a different team that shits on bot lanes all the time.
Oh, yeah? What place are they?
All I'm saying is, in a series, I think Team Liquid could take Fox. But I know I'm, like, nervous to say that because the whole Twitch chat's just going to open up with, like, oh my gosh, he's so biased or whatever. But I actually think it could happen.
I don't feel like Fox is super strong right now. This is the weakest point that they've looked to me in the split so far. But it's super hard to tell because, like, so many teams trade games, and I don't know, week to week, like 3 weeks ago, CLG looked like the worst team in the league. And now I'm like, damn, CLG, like, teams are actually so lucky CLG probably won't make playoffs.
Yeah, I think CLG making playoffs would be, they're looking, I think, what are they, 4-0 right now?
Yeah, ever since Nick Allen's AMA, they're 4-0.
Yeah.
Holy
yeah.
Shit.
Ever since Biofrost became the shot caller, they're 4-0.
That might be the more important point. At the risk of going too far down this rabbit hole, I would just say there's legitimate reasons to be worried as Fox. Like, their bot lane had always been, like, not great statistically, and they would just pick Kalista and then go even in lane with Kalista, and then the top side would win. And now it's like, well, you can't do that, and people are focusing you, and tanks are better in the top lane now, so that hurts your biggest strength.
But, I mean, I think that's kind of ignoring Phoenix, though. I mean, all of his champions are extremely meta and extremely strong right now.
Yeah, but the mid laners that he's going up against are really good too. So, like, I'm not saying Phoenix isn't good. I think he goes toe to toe with Jensen and Fevevin and Bjergsen and Poebelter. But, like, you know, you can't. I don't think you can count on Phoenix, like, to carry those series. He'll be good. He'll have his good moments. He'll have some bad moments. But I don't think he's like. I don't think he'll be the difference maker in any of those best of fives.
That's true.
I really, I really liked what CLG did against Fox this weekend, where I felt like watching that game, Hooney did his normal Hooney thing, and he felt like he was flying. But what CLG was actually doing was letting him fall with style, where they were just taking everything else and Hooney wasn't there. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, it's just too far gone. Like, they just ignored him and they took all the fights 4v5 and, like, then they just won the game. And I was like, wow, you have this guy who's super fed and he has, like, no game impact, actually. Because they were just playing the map better.
But, I mean, that does also give Echo Fox a legitimate game to study and look over and learn from. I mean,
now that I've given them all that information.
But yeah, Kelby. Yeah, what are you doing? I mean, it's one thing to look over that, and it's another thing to be like, "Hey, bot lane, get better, so we don't have to have Dardoch go down there and protect your turret or whatever." But I mean,
if you pick a support like Tahm Kench or Braum, you can just focus on going even, maybe falling a little bit behind in bot lane, but then having a really good teamfight presence support. Like, I think if you're going up against a playmaking support, like, you know, Biofrost, well, he won't be in the playoffs in all likelihood, but against Aphromoo, like 100 Thieves, all you do is just pick a support that can neutralize them in teamfights, neutralize the Thresh, neutralize the Bard, and then you just ban Zac against Meteos, because honestly, Meteos should have been on the OP5 last weekend. He played way better than Mike Young, but he's only looked good on Zac, so you just pick a team fight support and then focus on those team fight junglers like Zac, maybe Sejuani.
I mean, the concern is you pick Braum and then they pick Morgana and Caitlyn and they just push you in under your turret and then, you know, you lose the lane gracefully and Hooney's winning his lane gracefully and then you're in a neutral game, even game at 20 minutes. I'm not saying like Echo Fox is guaranteed to lose these games. I'm just saying like it's harder to cover up a weakness when it's like seemingly a personnel weakness versus like, well, why are they drafting this way? Kind of like thing that you saw out of some of these other teams.
I mean, I think, you know, Dardoch with he's such an amazing ganker. And if they do pick a Caitlyn Morgana lane, that leaves them wide open to a, you know, possibly even a 4v2, 5v TP play.
I know, but like you can, this is my point. You can make up all these hypothetical scenarios, but like that you can keep going with this, you know, like, oh, well, mm-hmm. you can force a 5-man TP play. And it's like, and then they can maybe disengage it or like, who knows, maybe, you know, now they're not playing to their top side and that's enough to play. That's not Echo Fox's strategy traditionally. You're already forcing them to not play their game plan. That's good. That means you're disrupting what they want to do and making them play what you want to do. You know, it's like start getting in this rabbit hole. So I don't want to go too far down it, but I'm just saying that like their bot lane has been enough of a problem over the past 3 weeks that like you should be worried.
Fury, thank you so much.
First, though.
Thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you to Fury. As Mark goes off to get the next caller, I want to give a shout out to a couple different people. Starting with Odd One Villain Hero, and YDog 1023 and Ribbon Chew, who are all fighting right now to see who I will interview at the end, along with OMG You Ate My Cookies 5, Dasliant Knight, who came on the show before, and I forget how to say his name, subbed, says, I still like Echo Fox at me. So, moving on here, we got Fantasy on the show. Where are you calling from, Fantasy?
Well, first off, you pronounced that correctly. That's
Thank you. For a second, I thought you were going to say, first off, you pronounced that incorrectly.
No, it's just like it's supposed to be a cheap way to say Fantasy. But yeah, I'm from Kansas City, so I'm calling from the Midwest right now.
Nice. Midwest caller. Sorry that you'll never get a League of Legends event. What did you want to talk about?
Say that. Yeah, but sort of off with kind of like a sentimental story. I'm a really big traditional sports fan. I've been playing sports ever since I was a little kid. I went to the store this weekend. I was wearing my Cloud9 jersey with a St. Louis Blues hockey team hat. Told this old man, probably 70, 80 years old. Got into a very friendly conversation, 5-minute conversation about hockey. He told me, you know, he'd been watching hockey since he was a little kid, saw the league grow, start. Hockey's only about 60 years old in the United States. He saw the Blues grow, now they're 51 years old. And it got me thinking, all of us right now are watching esports grow. Mm-hmm. And when we hit his age, we're going to be, you know, looking at kids my age at the time, and kind of even that same perspective. But then looking back at it, most sports, unlike hockey, but we used to look at basketball or football in the States, started in college and grew a base that way before they could expand into a national sport, into a work life. Because usually back, I think like in the 30s and 40s, you played football in college. And after that, you just got to college with it. You couldn't make a living off of it. The fact that esports already has a way to make a living off of it, and then it's branching out and getting a bigger player base, I think that it will show more growth and faster, especially with people like my little brother, who all they've known is video games. They watch streams, and YouTube is like a big thing. So it's a really cool thing to see. And I feel like I'd give it like maybe 10 years, 15 years, and esports is going to be controlled. Whether it's League of Legends or something new.
Yeah. That's cool. What did you, was that your main conversation topic for the show, or did you have something else that you wanted to talk about?
I've had a few others in the past, I guess, if you're okay with me spewing on something else.
No, I mean, I'm happy to talk about whatever you wanted to talk about. I just wasn't sure. You said first off a sentimental story, so I didn't know if that was...
Well, I think he was starting the...
Yeah, I understand.
That's starting that conversation.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it is interesting to talk a little bit about how quickly League of Legends... Like, because a lot of people say... I think Mark, Kelby, myself can probably all attest to the fact that, like, we're constantly talking to people who are, like, not really into esports, but they're interested in investing in esports, or they're doing a story about esports or whatever, and they're constantly saying things like, they ask us all the time, like, where do you think this is going to be in, like, 5 years? Where do you think this is going to be in, like, 10 years? Like, hey, like...
Are esports real athletes?
Yeah, yeah. Is this a real sport thing? Oh, do you think this is going to kill, like, baseball or something? And so it is, like, an interesting topic that I agree a lot of people... spend a lot of time obsessing over. For me, I tend to not care as much about it because, you know, in a way it is what it is. And I'm, you know, I could see esports ebbing and flowing over the next couple of years. Like, you know, in a world where League of Legends dies and the Battle Royale games can't figure it out, you know, like there's Overwatch and I don't know how much that's going to grow over the next couple of years. Like there's a chance that like you could backslide a little bit, but I don't know if Mark and Kelby have a thought on it.
I think you know that I have a million thoughts. Mark, go ahead.
Do you want to put out one of your million before I put out my one thought?
No.
I'm a simple minded person.
Go with your one thought.
I think video games as a whole, like the general idea is, you wait till all the people who like that other thing die off, and then the thing, other thing becomes the new norm. You know, it's just how changes happen a lot of the time. And so, yeah, this whole generation that's growing up with video games will like watch esports a lot more and all that. But I do think the idea of there being like a single esport is probably like, I don't know if we'll ever get a world where it's like, this is just the esport that people watch the most of. Like, CSGO is probably the closest thing we've had to that, where it's like, that's just the fucking, that's esports. Like, League is the biggest one right now, but it could easily trend downwards. And I do think that's a little bit weirder when you compare it to some of the other traditional sports. It's like, just based off how communities work, and like, especially communities in the real world, like, you have to play a game that you all understand. And like, a new game can come out in the online world and everyone can download it and play it, especially if it's free to play, and it can spread very rapidly, and then online communities allow people to come together. Traditional sports have a weirdly strange like advantage in the sense that like they can't change rapidly, so they actually are more stable in that sense, where like you're not going to invent, it's like slam ball, let's go all play slam ball, and it's like, all right, let's install a bunch of fucking trampolines into a court, and it's like, no, you can't do that. So in that way, the fact that they are forced to be more rigid because they don't take place in the digital world where you can change things just with code, they are around for longer. And so it's a weird question where I think, you know, I think a lot of people will adopt esports moving forward, and there'll always be a new shiny game. And in that sense, there'll always be a new esport, and it'll be hard to develop anything to the level that the NFL, NBA, and anything else reached, because it's always going to be a new shiny toy in the market, where it's like, well, it's basketball and fuck it, let's just everyone play basketball.
I think you kind of classify esports into different genres, where you have the battle royales that are popping up now, you got first person shooters like Counter-Strike or even Overwatch, and then you have Dota or even kind of MOBA games. So looking at similarities with like basketball, baseball, and football, for example, you have your own communities just like with esports in these certain game types, And what I'm trying to say is that eventually the traditional sports viewer base will die out and you'll have basically an esports viewer base, whether that be, you know, you have your jock CSGO guys where you have like the baseball player MOBAs where it goes a little bit slower, or you have, you know, so on and so forth, basically. Different people's play types, competitive styles take with different games, just like with traditional sports. Somebody's a little more collected might play soccer or baseball, whereas more agility based would be basketball or football, and you know, so on and so forth.
Why do you think traditional sports viewership will die out?
Isn't it on the decline?
It is. It's on a very big decline if you look at the actual the viewership. And I've actually worked a little bit with viewership for some sports, but besides that fact, I grew up in a household where I played sports since I was 4 years old, all the way through high school. And I loved it, but I also refereed and have coached some small teams, and there's this level of forced aggression onto sports that my father and some other people that I've seen have, and kids don't take to that very well, and neither did I. And you see this very growing dislike in traditional sports by kids, because not only do they get to see a bigger world now with technology, but they have video games all the time and at their fingertips and ever since they were babies. So it's just an easier way for them to fall back, just like probably sports were for older generations, a way to fall back away from the recession and all that stuff.
So Kelby, just an interesting fact that everybody always talks about this in esports, you probably heard it before, but the median age of a baseball viewer is 53. For football it's 47, and for the NBA it's 37. So obviously, you know, in a lot of cases that might mean that it stretches, like, oh, a lot of people of all ages watch NBA, but once you start to get to like a 53-year-old baseball viewer being like the median age, it's kind of crazy.
So one other interesting note, just before we segue off the declining viewership of traditional sports, is also just due to the declining viewership of all TV.
Yeah.
Currently Netflix has more subscribers than cable, right? Like, didn't I see a stat about that recently?
I'd honestly believe that any day.
Yeah, so like right now, traditional sports are like, how the fuck do we monetize correctly for this stuff? I think part of those numbers are due to that fact. Like, NBA is not particularly violent. It's a lot of fun. Like, it's doing better. Like, baseball has concerns because it's really slow and maybe it doesn't appeal to the current generation. And football has the health injury with, like, everyone getting concussions. So those are some other variables to consider. I would just say that I think, you know, esports is on the rise. It'll rise. And like Travis said, I think it will go through some waves and periods. But I do have a concern of ever reaching anything quite like the NFL reached in its peak, just because, like, well, Overwatch is the new hotness, but that's going to last a little while. And then this other thing will come, and then this other thing will come. And like, those markets will all be like the shooter market or the RPG market or the whatever mobile game market. But there'll be new things coming out. Like, there's now the Valor thing instead of Vainglory or whatever it is. Sorry, you go, Kelby.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just so to riff off of directly what you were saying, I agree, and Travis and I have actually had this conversation before. I can remember where we had it as well, where I think that one of the things, and I'm a huge proponent and believer in the long-term mainstream prevalence of esports, but I think that one of the big things that will need to be overcome or that people will have to deal with and could be a hurdle is the fact that, like, if I am a football fan, if I'm a baseball fan, if I'm a basketball fan, I used to follow traditional sports a ton all the way up through high school, super engrossed, and then esports was a replacement for me. I can go back and I can watch a basketball game, I can watch a football game, I can watch whatever, and I haven't lost any knowledge. It's really easy for me to still follow the game and completely get everything that's going on to the level that I understood it before. I also managed and lived with a professional League of Legends team and watched a ton of scrims, and at a certain point had a really, really deep competitive understanding of the game. And I go back and I watch League of Legends now, and it is such a drastically different experience. It's not just names that have changed. It's like watching the game is entirely different. With traditional sports, you do not have to be an actively engaged player in order to still get what I would call like an 80% plus, like, you know, viewership satisfaction experience. with esports, I personally feel, at least from my standpoint and somebody who's more interested in, like, you know, the pretty robust competitive nature, like, you need to be an active player of the game in order to experience it to the same degree that you would a traditional sports broadcast with the level of knowledge that you have. And as you know, life goes on and people go to school and they get jobs and stuff. You have less time to play games, or you whittle it down. So you can be a traditional sports fan and follow every single traditional sport and be really actively engaged in all of them. You can't do that with esports. Like, even the most dedicated esports professionals, Travis and Thorne and anybody will tell you, is that it's really hard to be an esports fan and have a really deep understanding of multiple different titles. I make a serious effort, and I am really dog shit at most titles compared to, you know, like the experts in that scene. Whereas, you know, with like traditional sports, you can just pick up and talk with anybody, even if you haven't watched the game for a couple of years. Sorry, that was really long-winded, but I think that's one of the things that esports will have to figure out, along with what Mark was talking about. And then the other thing is that I just don't think that traditional sports will go away. I think that baseball and football, for the reasons that Mark mentioned, have issues that will need to be addressed. And I don't know what happens to football because nobody wants their kid playing that sport anymore. But ultimately, is it still entertaining to watch? Yes. I think that a lot of the viewership decline is the same thing that we've seen, and why esports is so appealing to so many people, because the way that media is consumed is drastically changing, not just in the US, but across the world. Television is the fucking worst. Like, I go home to my parents for the holidays and like they have cable on. And does anybody ever fucking watch cable anymore? It is so bad.
Is it all psoriasis ads? I feel like it's all ads targeted to old people with skin.
Yes. You're watching like 40% commercials. It's so bad for like ingesting programming that way. It's such a terrible viewer experience. And ultimately, I think that so many people have transitioned to watching things online and being able to pay for content in different ways and consume it in ways, because it's such a better format, man. And Adblock will need to be recovered. But even still, if you watch, I never use Adblock. If I watch something on Twitch or YouTube or whatever, I'm not nearly as inundated with ads as like one, even the best cable broadcast, you know, like it's, that thing is going to die. I can't wait for it to die. I haven't had cable since I graduated.
Hey, Fantasy High School. I want to thank you so much for calling in. I think this was a good conversation.
Mm-hmm. No problem. Thank you.
Yeah.
He didn't get a chance. You were
wait, Mark, come back.
What? Oh, sorry.
Hang on. I need to do an ad.
Wait. An ad?
Yeah. Speaking of, it's a great conversation. Fantasy, thank you so much. And Kelby, you're right. There is way too many ads in traditional television. But now it's time to take a break to talk about our sponsor, Omen by HP. They, by the way, make this show possible. Really appreciate them coming in and supporting the show. If you guys are not familiar with Omen by HP, as Mark holds up a keyboard, they came into the space a couple years ago. And really saw the value, I think, in competitive gaming and the audience, and really supporting shows like this. Everything from a grassroots questionable show like this, where I'm pulling Mark out from another channel so that I could stop him so we could do an ad, all the way up to like the big leagues like Overwatch League and all that stuff, and sponsoring teams like CLG, who will hopefully next split have a better showing for that sponsor. But you know, it's been, Mark is doing a live unboxing.
This is the most
right now.
Graceful boxing.
Yeah, just like rips it open.
Yeah, you are.
Mark's showing a lot of sponsorship for, or a lot of support for them. You know, earlier at the start of the show, one of the things that I did, because this just came in today, was I unboxed this guy, who is, very impressive. 35-inch curved monitor. So I'll be gaming on this. You guys can check that out. It's in the description of the Twitch screen and all that stuff. I'll put it into the YouTube link as well. This thing is massive, and I can't wait to try it out.
Wait, am I getting one of those?
This thing is massive, and I can't wait to try it out. It's really exciting. But yeah, it's very
cool. Me too,
cool.
Man.
And I'm a big fan of it. And I really appreciate Omen by HP support of the show. Not only, you know, do they hook me up with gear, Mark gets a keyboard, I get a monitor.
They're like a white elephant we can do.
But Mark and I also get paid to do this show now because they support it. So it's not just the gear and all that stuff, but they help us spend time doing this. Mark's a very busy man. You know, he's got like offline stuff.
I've been playing a lot of Monster Hunter recently. That would probably be pretty cool for him.
He's been playing Monster Hunter. I asked him for lunch this morning. He said, no, I got to go get lunch with the girlfriend.
Oh, I'm probably going to cancel lunch for tomorrow.
What?
Unless we do it like, you know, like noon.
This is why you
bring a monitor.
This is why you don't have a monitor. Yeah, exactly. Either way, thank you so much to Owen by HP. By the way, if you want to help me out, if you want to help Mark out, go and hit him up on Twitter. Follow them at Omen by HP. Tweet them. Tell them you appreciate their support of the show. And I that really helps us out. So thank you guys so much. I'll put their Twitter in the description on YouTube. And I'll type it out right now into Twitch chat. But again, thank you to Omen by HP for their support. Mark is now going to run off and grab the next caller. And I am going to give some long due shout outs. Comachina, by the way, at the start of the show, I said that I'd be interviewing after the show, live on air, whoever was the bit leader. Comachina's donated 1,500 bits several times, so now it'll be sitting at 7,500 bits. I don't know if anybody else is going to be able to break that, but if they do.
Yeah, bro, I think you got enough of a lead. You can chill.
Yeah, well, hey. You know, who knows? It's always good to secure.
This is an esports and chill.
Yeah,
you can.
I mean, all I gotta say is that Camachina, just be careful. Steve watches the show, so yeah, you don't want to come in and steal
Steve
it.
Oh, Steve could come in and big dick at any moment. Dude.
That voice that you're hearing right now is that of Khan's. Khan has just joined. Khan, you've been on the show before, but remind me, where are you calling from?
Good old Idaho.
Good old Idaho.
Every time.
Khan is a Twitch sub. Thank you very much for subbing. Khan, what do you want to talk about on the show today?
Well, I just want to talk about how Best of Ones and even somewhat of like the massive patch change right before the playoffs kind of make me wonder, like, I have zero idea who the top teams are.
Yeah,
because we're in a whole different environment. You have like even like Doublelift and some of the players now coming out and saying like, we've been trying a whole bunch of stuff in scrims and that we spent a lot of this LCS season just kind of, you know, trying different things. You know, we weren't really try harding that much. And I mean, even if you look at it right now, like, I'm not a CLG fan, but I feel like they're, you know, if you took this today, they could be considered the best team in NA just given the patch and their nature. And I feel the way Best of Ones and how draft centered they are and how kind of random they are. And also the fact that 8.5 just, you know, 8.4 and 8.5 changed the whole entire like dynamic of how the meta is. I have no idea who the number one team like teams are in this.
It's Cloud Nine.
So 100 Thieves has the best.
Didn't Cloud Nine go 0-2 this weekend? Or are they?
I don't know. Whenever I talk to all the players, I've asked several players this question across interviews, and all of them, sometimes not even in response to this question, will just say they think Cloud Nine is the best, and that's why I think that might be the case.
So this is a tangential issue to what Khan is talking about. It's not really about Best Ones, but I've heard people say it a bunch of times, and he vaguely referenced it about like how teams aren't super try hard in the regular season. And that's fine. The teams who need to try hard are try hard. And like TSM is try hard. Like they were not slacking off the first 6 weeks. That's not why they suck balls. They suck balls because they had two new, like 60% roster upheaval, you know, like, and a lot of the regular season is giving time for teams like TSM to figure it out. So I don't, like, people are always like, man, the regular season didn't matter. It's like the wins necessarily might not matter all the time, but like that time that they're competing in a very legitimate setting matters a lot. So
yeah,
that was really not what Khan's point was at all, but I just wanted to get that off my chest.
Good job derailing the show, Mark.
My bad.
I still think Cloud9 is the best. No, Khan was saying
best
he doesn't.
The Best of Ones have like fucked
yeah,
with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also, Khan, I'm sorry, did you also want to have a discussion about who the best team is? Because I thought that was the main point.
I mean, I just have, like, we can discuss. I mean, I was saying, like, right now, if we talk about the NALCS as a whole, given the Best of One and how the patch changes, like, I don't think you can really clarify what team is really the best. I mean, if you, like I said, you look at CLG, it's hard not to say they're not the best team, you know, given, you know, their performance in 8.4 and 8.5.
Do you think CLG is the best team?
They're in the running. I mean, arguably.
How can you say they're not?
They're on.
They've had really strong wins too.
They're on like a 4 or 5 game win streak, and they've beaten they've beaten like a bunch of playoff teams. They beat C9, Echo Fox,
TL. Play TSM next week.
Yeah, so they've beaten a lot of good teams while doing that.
Mark, do you think CLG is the best team?
No, fuck no.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying I think they are. I just think there's a legitimate discussion, especially
right,
given
yeah,
how
right, right.
Yeah.
8 point, yeah. Like, out of curiosity, you know, Mark, you're, you know, more analyst. I know Kelby's a little bit outskirts. What do you guys feel about, like, Riot severely changing a meta, like, mid-season? Because I feel like 8.4 and 8.5 completely, like, made how teams were playing or gearing towards at the start of the split irrelevant in some ways.
I can agree more with that element where I don't necessarily like big changes at the start of the season. If big changes are going to happen, I like where they did them. Like, week 5, mm-hmm. week 6, like teams have had enough time to figure out how they want to play a little bit, like so that they're not completely like cold turkey. And then you're given a couple weeks towards the end of the season to figure it out, and then you're playing on it for playoffs. So like, I'd rather hear than like a playoff patch where it's like in the past they would fucking hit you with like Feral Flare. Here you go. Like heal now does it removes healing debuff, so it's the counter to the counter to itself. You're like, what the fuck did you just do to this game? And they kind of did that again, but at least it's in the middle of the season. I don't mind when they do it sometimes when the meta sucks, and it felt like for a while the meta sucked, and so some of this might have been in response to that. And then teams just got better, and then a lot of the meta problems kind of went away. So
I still think the meta problems are there. If you looked at a lot of games this weekend, they were going in the 40 to 50 minute range.
Well, I think that might be a little bit more going back to the point, like teams don't know what they're doing either. Like before, there was a pretty clear way to blow the game open really early, like top lane counter pick and winning top side matchups. And then, or you're playing GP and he eventually hits 25 minutes and he's better than the top lane counter pick matchup. And so like the good teams could end games quickly. And now it's more through bot lane and some teams are not readjusted. I don't know. Maybe it's slower too, but you would think with the changes to Baron and Elder Dragon, it's like, I don't know.
What you know what I find really exciting in the meta is watching a team walk with 5 champions and a Baron buff and a fucking cannon minion and then having the audience count off shots on an inhibitor.
I like that. Are you being sarcastic?
Yes, I'm being sarcastic. It's like fucking people cheering for ward kills. That's boring ass shit, dude.
I mean, no. That's not at all the same. Ward kills are like, there's no kills, and so there's just like a random ward in a jungle that gets killed. That's not hype. This is like a team sieging a base. Like, there's a complete, then there's all this tension. Is somebody getting a guy? Team fights could break at any moment.
Because there aren't, but they don't. What happens is you just watch this cannon minion fucking siege, and people sit there and they exchange, and then there's no actual fight that happens. Nobody dies, and like, you just lose an inhib and walk away and transit.
I would not like it if it was happening a year from now, but for right now, I think it's fun.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm sitting in the audience and I hear everybody cheering and it's fun.
It's a novelty value that will quickly wear out, I think.
I hope.
But it is pretty epic as you just see like the cannon minion take those giant chunks off of the inhib. And it helps build the tension because at some point in time, like the other team needs to run out and kill the fucking cannon minion.
I understand what was there. And I'll be honest, you're seeing in a way that I'm actually not happy because I think NA teams are being stupid, but they're not building banner as much anymore. I feel like there's been a lot of games with NA I've watched where teams could just win if they built a banner and sieged.
So I think it's an interesting thing that happened. Based off my understanding, it was like, banner's fucking broken. Everyone do banner. And then everyone's like, well, I'm just going to keep my minion dematerializers. And then it's like, okay, well, I'm not going to build banner then. I'll just build a better tank item. And then if you're in an even game state, there's better items than banner.
I guess I just see every other region, especially like Korea and China, still building banner.
I think we've overcompensated. I would agree, but I think I understand why we've seen a decline of it.
Or we're just the next level.
Yeah, we could just be fucking
all
wrong.
This money has gone straight to everybody's brain, and they're just so much smarter now because they've had all this investment into their
you
brain.
Can buy IQ.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, plus,
if you look at Team Liquid Echo Fox, that's definitely what's happened.
Yeah.
And you have to add that in with the fact we have at least half less games.
This is
stage.
Yeah, this is our fucking year at Worlds, and all these noobs don't realize it yet because we just got all this money injected straight into our brain cells.
I got an MSI caller coming up, Kelby. I can't wait to hear your optimism.
Oh yeah, we're getting.
Does anybody remember Rift Rivals last year when we just went there and fucking dicked EU like some little? Actually, never mind. I'm not going to continue where I was going.
Mike Young. Anyways. The Mike Young coming out party was Rift Rivals 2017.
Yeah, for sure.
I agree with what Khan's saying in principle. Best of ones makes it really hard to tell who's the best team combined with a meta super change. Hard.
I also think it's part of it is just the everything's changing here at the end. Maybe part of it is the meta, but I also think like TSM's finally getting their feet underneath them. CLG, like it is impossible to say that like, oh, they were secretly this good all along, but like best of ones just made it so that we couldn't tell. It's like,
well, they stopped trying to go top before it was like Darshan counterpick, Huhi, Aurelion Sol and TF and gank top, and then they're like, how about we just win bot lane? How about that?
Yeah,
sounds kind of like Liquid.
Yeah, I don't know what Liquid's doing.
Don't you worry about our boys. I will say though that real quick. I think that best of one has made me more excited for series and playoffs because we haven't seen series up to this point.
I guess I'm interested because I feel like viewership it's bumped up a little, but what is that best of one or is that because we have new orgs in like Optic and things
Clutch
like
gamers.
That?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't think viewership bumps up so much from it as much as it avoids dropping when you get a shitty matchup. Whereas like sometimes it was like the alt stream or the second stream and it was like literally 15,000 people watching.
Yeah. Less. Or less. Yeah.
Significantly less. Yeah.
And that is bad. That's really bad. So like it's not so much like, man, we're back up at 200,000 like we were during the prime time of LCS as much as like, well, you're not at 10,000.
How do you sell sponsors when your matches get 5,000 concurrence during your
shitty teams?
Yeah.
Khan, what is your Discord icon? Because I've been wondering this forever.
Oh, I like played D&D at one point and like they had us put the icons of the characters. I just never changed it since then because I'm lazy.
Okay. Khan, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it.
I do have one last thing.
Nope. All right.
Did you kick him?
No, it was just
on all the time.
He was in the subs chat and somebody said, Alir said to him, like, most pressing issue is Kelby not wearing sunglasses. And he was like, don't worry, I'm going to address it on the show. And so I was like, I was waiting for him to try to bring it up. And I was just like, I will fucking murder him then. That's great. Kelby left. All right. While we're going through there. Thank you, by the way, Khan. I'm just messing with you. Hopefully you don't hate me. ADK 1130 subbed. BlueJay 1344. Skyfall 3665. Nidlint. Posnot. Gurum. LOL. Ladder. Slider. TSP. TSP Anomaly. Real Foxy 1 donated $10 and said it's for the Send Kelby to Miami Fund. And then Xflosive subbed, J Miss Senpai has resubbed, and Biotrace donated $5, said this money is to help pay Kelby, hashtag pay Kelby before Mark. So that's where we're at. BlueJay.
What? No, you guys need to pay Mark.
BlueJay, are you BlueJay 1344?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you for the sub that I literally just read out while you were joining the show.
Didn't notice.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm sure you were talking to Mark. Either way, the point is, where are you calling from?
Kitchener, Ontario.
Kitchener, Canada. Ontario. Oh, we got a Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
What did you want to talk about?
I honestly just want to talk about if NA fans should be worried about who will rep us at MSI.
Oh, this is the MSI caller that Mark was mentioning.
Yeah. Because honestly, like, I look at the top teams and I can't really feel good about any of them, to be honest. I guess Echo Fox has been kind of slipping lately. Cloud9 doesn't look as clean as they did mid-season. Well, I guess at the start of season two. Neither of them look very clean. And then after that, it's like, well, wait. We're not going to have Clutch Gaming rep us at MSI, right? Like, Solo doesn't even know how to play the game.
So,
just kidding.
Can I say why you don't need to be worried?
Okay, yeah, sure.
So this is what's going to happen, all right? If you'll recall, a couple years ago, one Destined team from North America went to MSI and they got second place, okay? Mm-hmm. All we need to have happen is for TSM to lose and for CLG to get in, winning their tiebreaker, make a playoff run, because you have faith in the system. You trust Tony. You don't want to fire him like an idiot. Like
that was all the funniest these kids shit
on their subreddit. You have belief. You know that you can't lose once Nick Allen does an AMA on your sub, and you just you roll straight.
God, I love that answer.
You go to MSI. You big dick on EU because all their talent comes to NA anyway. And the greatest thing about it, we won't even have any of those EU scrubs repping our teams. We'll do it with pure NA talent. Plus, you know.
Man, we could do it with one champion.
Catalogic Gaming in the Twitch chat right now is saying the Prophet and spamming CLG votes. So they're not sponsoring this show, just so in case Kelby, anybody.
No bias. In case hashtag no bias.
In case your CLG fanfic doesn't work out, like, are you concerned about any other teams?
Oh, we'll get destroyed if it's not CLG. For sure.
No faith in TSM.
I have faith in Cloud9. No, I don't know if I have faith in TSM.
TSM has a lot of EU players on it, so I think we'll be really good. That's a 3/5 EU team. You know what I mean? And that's like the best bot lane from EU and the best mid laner from EU. So you just have like a top and a
he's
and
NA
jungle.
Now, remember?
Yeah. He's NA, but you know.
All right, I think that TSM is going to beat C9 in the finals, which is unfortunate because I think if C9 went to MSI, we would do much better.
So then why are they going to beat them in the finals?
Because that's always how this shit goes.
Yeah.
TSM wins domestically, and then, like, well, who was it? Somebody I know, I think it's Taylor, always tweets, like, CLG would have won this event every time TSM goes to an international event and then flops out. It's like a reminder that CLG would have won this. But no, I think TSM seems to be able to win domestically. They don't seem to be able to win internationally, which is very unfortunate for us because MSI, you only get to send one team. So whenever they beat everybody domestically and then we send them, and inevitably we all end up disappointed and angry. And then a TSM Legends episode comes out with like the fall or disappointment or, you know, the
suicidal tendencies.
I don't know about that, but
whoa, getting real dark here.
Yeah.
So
what
yeah
about any of the new orgs? Clutch and 100 Thieves.
I mean, that's the funny thing. Like, I actually do. I love the idea of us sending Clutch to MSI because, like, all the NA fans, their brains would just explode. They'd be like, "We didn't even know this was a team in the NALCS, and now they're representing us internationally. What the hell is going on?" I just think that would be very funny.
Is Team Snickers? Oh yeah, they're eliminated from playoff.
Yeah, contest. Snickers never is out. I personally am a little nervous about who represents this MSI. I think like best bets are once again probably still TSM and C9. Just because I'm concerned about Echo Fox's stability based off what we've seen the last couple weeks. C9 hasn't looked much better. I'm really concerned about Licorice's team fighting. I don't think it looks very good on, especially like if he's playing tanks or something. TSM looks all right, and then if it's not going to be TSM to represent us, even though they might still lose, I would probably take one of the new teams. I'd rather see Clutcher.
There's zero mention of TL in here. You guys are Travis. You especially should be fucking disgusted with yourself.
OPTSM fan, by the way, says Kelby would love it if Clutch brought their social media guy, who I met in person. Kelby was very, very critical of their social media guy for prison.
If you ever want to have, actually, never mind. I'm not going to say that. I'll get back to
TL. You keep, the amount of times that Kelby self censors halfway through a sentence on the show.
I'm surprised you'd stop. You're not getting paid. Like
he made a very savage tweet to Noah Winston earlier and then deleted it.
Oh, I saw that too.
Yeah, he said like,
"Whoa, I don't know what you guys are talking about."
No. Because so Kel, I said. Oh, Kelby's making his triumphant return tonight on the show. Noah said, "Is it really triumphant?" And then Kelby said something like, "More triumphant than your LCS application?" Or something like that.
Yeah, the opposite of your LCS application.
Oh, the opposite of your LCS application.
Low blow, dude.
And then Kelby quickly deleted it.
I messaged Noah on the side. I just had to let him know that I have that Twitter reply game. But, you know, I didn't want to flame him like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even creative.
Fuck you, Mark.
I'm just saying, like,
I thought it was good.
It's a trump card you can play whenever, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he wants to fire shots at me, you know? Come on.
Back to MSI. Does any of this matter? Because the entire thing's going to be taking place at the EULCS studio.
I want to know what you have to say about Team Liquid, Travis. What are TL shots?
You were about to go there.
Oh, was I? No, Kelby was trying to get me to go there. I think Team Liquid's a boring topic for this. Like, I do not think that they're going to make it to the event. They seem to have an identity crisis.
And tweet at Peter right now.
No. Wait. Don't. Please don't. Because I actually have... No. We're going to tweet something else at Peter later on tonight. Trust me. Just hold off. It's actually hilarious you brought that up because I have a whole thing. But
I didn't know.
No. You'll see. You'll see when he gets there. I think Team Liquid has an identity crisis. They can't figure out what they want to be. And I don't think that they're going to figure it out in time. So... again, I still think Cloud9 is going to... I think Cloud9 is going to look really great, and then they'll lose in some dramatic fashion to TSM in the finals, and then TSM will just go bluster out, and it'll just be like...
Who was the caller earlier? Whoa.
What happened?
Was it Furry earlier who was talking about how potentially it could be Cloud9 and TSM on the same side of the bracket, though, for semis?
Anything can happen right now. It's all up in the air. Like, because Cloud9 might not even get a bye. They're one game ahead of Clutch, and they've been losing games, so.
Right, okay.
At this point, like, anything's still possible?
Yeah, for sure.
I have a quick question, if you guys don't mind.
We have quick answers.
Okay, so by the sounds of things, Travis and Mark, I don't know about you, Kelby, but from the sound of things that you guys were okay with TSM repping, however, do you guys still feel that way if, like, before this week? Like, they just won two games.
Sorry, what was your question? Is we're okay with TSM?
I guess my
what?
Question is, would you guys still feel comfortable with TSM repping us if it was before this weekend just happened? Or did this weekend change a whole lot?
I personally would always like to have big talent on big stages. Players who've played in big matches and have international experience.
Yeah, that's fair.
I would say... Yeah, I mean, a lot of this is pending how people look in playoffs, because like part of my assumption is TSM will be good in playoffs because it'll be a best of five environment and then they'll play better. It wasn't really influenced by this week as much, though the win over C9 was nice. I already started believing in Sven and Mythy when they started like taking turrets 2v2 with Ezreal, Braum and stuff like that. So
okay,
I had started believing in them a little bit ago. That's why I predicted them to beat C9.
I don't think that they were ever a question. Did we ever? I don't know how you guys think, but I didn't think there was ever a question that they would eventually become a solid bot lane. I think the question was all on Mike Young. And if we're now convinced that Mike Young can perform, then like, yeah, I'd say 10 TSM. That'd be wicked.
It was less about if their bot lane was good so much as would it synergize with their team, because they were kind of getting blasted when there were some clear synergy problems between the bot lane and the rest of the team.
Yeah.
So there was a world where I didn't think TSM ever worked out, but I never sold my TSM stock. I just said they were bad when they were clearly bad, but I wasn't like, oh, they can't get better. Like, yeah, I thought Golden Guardians wasn't going to get better, but they got a lot better.
Yeah, holy shit. Eh?
Yeah. Nice okay. A. Nice strong A thrown in there.
Oh, I got to throw them in, man. I'm doing that on purpose.
Blue Jay, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, fellas. Take care.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah.
All right, Mark, before you leave, I'll just talk about the double F campaign now, right?
Okay,
so...
Yeah, try and save yourself, Travis.
Hello, viewers. As of right now, my Twitch dashboard says there are 1,158 of you guys watching right now. Unfortunately, this is in stark contrast to a statement made by a close personal friend of mine recently. So I, as many people have requested... I requested Doublelift to come officially on this show. Doublelift said, no one watches this show. And so he declined the invite. So he thinks you guys are no one. I would love to have Mark, me, Kelby, and Doublelift all on the show in the future talking. I think it'd be really fun. We get callers in. Doublelift and Kelby used to work together. They're close friends. I think that'd be great. But again, like, Doublelift seems to think... there is no one that watches the show. So what I would love is if all of you, if you have a Twitter account, do this. If not, make a Twitter account, because I need all you guys to tweet at Doublelift. What is it? At TL Doublelift? Yeah, at TL Doublelift. And just say TL Doublelift. I'm typing it on Twitch chat right now. Hey, why don't you pull up, I watch Hotline League. Just tweet, hey, I watch Hotline League at Doublelift, please. And just, if you're watching the VOD, do it. Just keep, because he does not think anybody watches the show. And maybe nobody does. Maybe I'm wrong. But I this is just a test. We can check, you know, on Twitter to see if
people maybe it would get posted to Reddit, and then a Reddit mob would take it down once they realized I said this. But, you know, maybe that would help, too.
Yeah, just it would be great if everybody could tweet at TLWF. Yeah, there's a Twitter link right there. Just because, again, like, I think he's confused. Because I feel like people watch this show. Do you think people watch this show, Kelby?
Yes, Travis. I do think that people watch this show.
Okay, good. Well, let's
That's how I sell esports, by the way, on my calls.
Let's find out. All right. Everybody's spamming the bot emote now in chat because Everyone's just bots. All right.
I tweeted at him, Travis.
I tweeted at him too.
We can move on. Oh, did you tweet him?
Yeah, I guilt tripped him with the best friend.
Yeah, thing. I told him not to come on.
Oh, really? Mark told him not to come on. Mark tweeted, hey, Hotline League is not a good show. I advise you not to come on. Very good. All right.
I can't lie, man.
All right.
Can't make me lie.
Yeah.
Should I get the next guy?
Yeah. Okay. Let me go ahead. I have some more shout outs to give. And by the way, again, at the start of the show, I said I'd interview whoever gave the most bits after the show is done. Camo China is now how his name is pronounced, and apparently I said it wrong, but he's so far ahead of everybody. I don't know if anybody's going to be able to take him on, but maybe someone will. Luna Bubble D Tuna has subbed. Kyle Flames has subbed. Girlish Menace and Ruby C. What were you going to say, Kelby?
How much has he donated?
7,500 bits.
So that's like $75?
Yeah, in USD.
So if I donated $100, you would interview me for... how long about the chain smokers?
Yeah, so I said 5 minutes, but if it gets weird, I reserve the right to hang up on the caller.
Whoa!
But as long as you don't make it weird, we're good.
All right.
Fortunately, well, these were the same terms I gave Monty last couple weeks, and it didn't work out. BioTrace is on the show.
Wait,
BioTrace,
did you see the Monty tweet?
BioTrace. Oh, I don't know. BioTrace, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Spring Arbor, Michigan.
And
is that close to Ann Arbor?
I'm about an hour, 45 minutes west of Ann Arbor.
Okay. That's so funny that... sorry to interrupt this. Yeah.
What's so funny?
Well, it's because Spring Arbor, Ann Arbor, you know, in Michigan. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. I'm dumb. Continue.
BioTrace, what do you want to talk about?
So everyone is talking about how crazy it will be if TSM doesn't make finals. And I think it's absolutely ridiculous to think that it's would be just that we can expect TSM to just make finals again. Because after all of the franchising and the changing up of the teams, everything is so different and the league is just structurally different enough that I don't think that we can really make that kind of argument. Because, I mean, if we're looking at the top players in the league, like, we can talk about Bjergsen, Jensen, Power of Evil, Pobelter, Febiven, Phoenix, all being, like, top mid laners now, as opposed to being Jensen and Bjergsen and maybe Pobelter. Like, there's so many more great players in the league now that I don't think it's fair for us to expect TSM to be, like, to be in the finals. I think that it's silly. Same thing with CLG. Like, if they don't make playoffs, I mean, we are so many good talent in the league now that I think that it would be insane to suggest that that's just outlandish or crazier, that it's something detrimental to their organizations.
So, wait, sorry. Your statement was that it's weird to assume that TSM can make finals. And but it also sounds like you're saying it's weird to think that CLG can't make playoffs.
So go ahead, Mark.
No, you go ahead.
All right. So I'm thinking that it's ridiculous because everyone's putting all this emphasis on what if TSM doesn't make finals or what if TSM doesn't make playoffs. And I think that that's misplaced. I don't think we should be I don't think that that should be a discussion, because they're it's a completely different team in a completely different league. I mean, we have four new teams in the league, two of which are doing fantastic. I mean, I think it's silly to suggest that that we can assume that the NALCS is the same NALCS as it was before franchising.
So we talk about all this new talent coming in the league. Didn't TSM acquire a lot of it?
Yeah. Like,
and yeah, absolutely. So something that's never happened in history shouldn't be talked about when it's like leading up to that potentially.
Right, because it's a completely different league. I think that it's because there's so much more new talent, including Zven and Mythy. I think that like we can't discount that they should be a good team. But I'm saying that because of all the other talent also coming into the league, that it wouldn't be outlandish for TSM not make finals.
Oh, you're saying no one should be surprised if TSM doesn't make finals.
Yeah, there's so much good talent. I mean, Echo Fox is slumping right now, and I don't think they'll make it in. But if it's a Clutch Gaming C9 final, I don't think anyone should be surprised, because they're both fantastic teams.
C9 is you can't really make the argument like C9 making it to finals is almost as commonplace as TSM making it to finals.
Right.
But the Clutch thing, like, I think people should be surprised, because quite frankly, like, none of these teams existed just more than 3 months ago. So
sure.
To have somebody come up, build a team, and then 3 months, like, make it so that cause a situation where TSM for the first time ever isn't in finals, I think that would be pretty surprising to me.
Yeah, okay. I think it's fair to say it would be surprising if TSM didn't make finals. I'm not saying like it's mind blowing that they wouldn't make it, but just that, hey, they were the best team in NA for the last 2 years. They're the first team to win three splits in a row. They switched out their bot lane for the best bot lane in Europe and in the West, arguably. And then they brought in one of the hottest young junglers in NA. Like, why would this team not be hyped up and expected to continue to do well? Just because other teams got Febiven and Power of Evil with stuff. I don't know. That seems weird to me. I expect them to do well. They always do well.
I mean, I like I said, I think that like there's so much talent in North America that it's almost like we have a brand new LCS. And so I guess for me, it's like we're starting fresh. We're starting over, even though some of the teams have been around for longer than others.
Where the talent's concentrated. Like, who has more talent, arguably, than TSM? Maybe Team Liquid, which is why people expected those two teams to be the first two.
Yeah, maybe C9. I mean, I think that like the question marks around Licorice are the similar question marks that are around Mike Young. Like, mm-hmm. How is he going to do as he comes in and stuff like that? I think that there's because there is so many question marks around the league that. At least for me, it wouldn't surprise me, or I don't expect TSM to like, because like last year, I mean, I could like last spring, I could expect TSM to make it to every single finals. But coming in this year, coming into this summer, there's a much better chance that they don't. And I think that sometimes goes like untalked about or undiscussed is how good the rest of the league is now compared to the level of what TSM was last year, last splits. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's fair.
Kelby, do you have a thought?
Yeah.
Do you want to share it with the show?
I've been letting you guys go. My thought is that there have been 10 NALCS finals so far. And there has been one team that has appeared in every single NALCS final so far. That team is TSM. There's also been one team that has won as many finals as the second place team has appeared in finals. And that is TSM. They've won 6 out of 10 finals. They have this guy on their team called Bjergsen. He's won a couple split MVPs. He's a pretty good player.
Wait, who's Bjergsen? I haven't heard of him before.
Yeah. He's like a former EU player that wanted to get popularity and maximized his career, so he left his dog shit region and he came to the big region where the big boys play, and everybody gets upgraded and they make the most of their life. Yeah, so he did that move. He set the trend. He made the stage. So I'm just kind of I was doing a lot of joking and stuff before, but for me, like when a team has been that consistent over this many years and they still have those. You know, they still have that guy in place, Bjergsen and Reggie, until it is disproven. Like, kind of like my thoughts on SKT, right? In like World Finals, I was like, I will not believe that SKT can get knocked out of World Finals until I see it happen. Like, I just would not bet against them. And until I see it happen with TSM, I will not bet against them reaching a final. You know what I mean? I think that they just like they get this buff that's too strong and they still have the pieces as a part of that organization, that enabled them to get there.
Yeah, and they did it with a bunch of rosters too. There's the Dyrus, Special Reggie one. There's the Bjergsen one with like Lost Boy and Turtle. There's the Bjergsen one with Double Lift. And now there's about to be the Bjergsen one with Sven.
Not only have they done it with a bunch of different rosters, they've done it with every roster.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Mark, I just want you to know that the Zephyr guy was back in chat. So if you wanted his topic, he's there.
I don't even remember what his topic was.
Oh, he was probably the first person who you lost.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's all I had. But Kelby, make sure you get your $5 from me. Don't let Travis steal it from you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Like, he stole my Wii U?
I was like, I gave it back and then I remembered.
BioTrace, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you guys. Love the show.
Yeah, thank you.
What's that story about?
Travis told it at the top of the show how I fucked up and I missed our meeting.
Oh. Okay. I thought it was the stealing of
it. Well, it's a little bit of both. He's had it for like a year now.
I'm going to get the next person.
It's tense. 100 Super Jumps has subbed. Mar2586 has subbed. Hawkeye Rar has subbed. Razgriz TP has subbed. Hotz has subbed. Crazy Hotz. 8. Yeah, he's got a Z and then two S's. Crazy 8 with a K has subbed. 360 with a 0 at the end and 70. Poro Satan Sizegul SYZYGI subbed. I think people sometimes make these names just to make me struggle. Okay. LL Smacks, IX Spiritus XI, and Containerly D. A big fan of Containerly D has subbed. Vapo is here. Vapo, where are you calling from?
Hey, what's up, Travis? I'm from New Jersey, but I'm currently in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, in the Dominican Republic. Nice.
What are you in Dominican for? Vacation?
No, actually, my mom's Dominican. I'm studying over here in college.
Nice. Very cool.
Very cool. Well, what do you want to talk about on the show today?
Well, actually, I want to talk about Reignover and CLG. I've been following Reignover ever since Fnatic and all the 18-0 stuff they did at Europe. And right now, all the Huni effect that's been over around Dardic and all that stuff. And I've been thinking, if with all that happened last year with Reignover and TL, if CLG don't make playoffs this year, and if they don't go like at least semis, I really think people are going to start to catch up that Reignover maybe is not the best jungle in the league, or maybe a good jungle in the league. And Hilcarillo will be probably over, and he'll start like falling into lower tiers of teams and stuff. And yeah, I really like the guy. I'm really scared for him.
It's an interesting question.
I feel like Reignover might be on the Piglet path.
Yeah, and I'm really scared for him.
So I was talking with some people, and up until like the most recent uptick with Reignover and the rest of CLG, it was like, who's the worst jungler in NA? And then it was like Onda, and it's like, okay, so who's the second worst? And it's like, probably Reignover.
Damn, dude.
Yeah. And then I had the question, I was talking with somebody else, who's the worst import in NA? And it was like, oh, well, probably Fly. And then who was the second worst? And it's like, probably Rainover.
Jesus Christ. Thing is also that...
in regards to like cost efficiency, too. I can't imagine Fly costing
Rainover. That is...
Yeah, but if we go to cost efficiency, we're also talking about impact, that, you know, that's a gross amount of money for somebody that's not making that well.
I definitely think Impact is doing a lot more for TL than Rainover is doing for CLG.
Right.
That's
and,
true. Yeah.
And money is not a thing to Steve. You know how like we take for granted oxygen, or like in the US we have like fresh drinking water and stuff. Like
Steve is
just like money? Oh yeah, other people care about that, right? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say I don't think he's done after this split though, because CLG has looked good enough with this iteration that like maybe they give it another shot.
Not to mention, who else do you get?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
bring back Omar God, the God himself.
He's in Academy, right? Is he on their Academy team?
Yeah, he's on their Academy team.
Yeah.
There's a couple Academy junglers who look all right, but like Onda didn't look good, and he was supposed to be one of the new hot young rookies coming in.
And Nero is in the chat right now, getting very defensive about Rainover, by the way.
Do not flame Rainover.
Yeah, and Nero is Echo Fox's coach for this.
I really love Rainover. Like, he seems like a really nice guy and all this and everything. And actually, I think he's a really good jungler. But the thing is, I don't know. He's just not having it.
I would say he is one of the most intelligent junglers in the league. And I've never said otherwise. And his pathing is amazing. That's why he has like the highest XP differential. I don't know if that's still true. He's fantastic PvE jungler is how I've always said it. But as soon as you make him like start doing engages and stuff like that, like he'll like get kills off ganks from like being in the right place at the right time. But then you'll watch how he plays them and you're like, what the fuck was that? And like same with engages and team fights, just like hitting the wrong button and like flashing in place and stuff like that. It's painful to watch sometimes.
I mean, yeah, but was it Rengar has... pocket pick or something?
If we're talking about like 20
it was a while
15 ago. 2016, yeah, but then
he
like
played it after a rework.
Yeah, well, if you watch his Rengar on TL, it was booty hole. He would like be on top of an 80 carry, he can double Q to kill them, and then he would flash. Like, I watched a game where he literally lost his team the game when he had both backline members gonna get hit with the double Q AoE thing and just flashed out and used his empowered proc on W.
That's true.
It was like, okay, he's lost it. Mark, at least that's how it looked.
Who would you rather have on a team right now, Acadian or Rainover?
Without knowing their personalities, I can't say. Because I know Rainover is a really nice kid. And I don't mean personalities like as people outside the game. I mean like how they work in a team environment. So like, I know Rainover's a really nice guy. I know he's probably pretty easy to work with. Acadian has looked better this split than Rainover for a large portion of it.
Panero says, by the way, in reference to what you were saying earlier, Mark, Rainover played like that when everyone was calling him the best. People just don't know what makes a jungler good.
You cut out. I don't know what you said.
Sorry. Panero said in chat that in response to what you were saying about Rainover's playstyle, that Rainover played like that when everyone was calling him the best. People just don't know what makes him a good jungler, IMO. Would rather have that good pathing jungler who can PvE than the me only fight me only gank jungler.
Yeah, I think it depends what your team needs too. Like, CLG needed a leader, they needed a playmaker, they needed a lot of stuff, and Rainover's just not that fucking guy. And that's what TL needed, and he wasn't that fucking guy. And now that Biofrost is that fucking guy, like, Rainover's starting to look good again. Yeah. So yeah, they actually look good. On the same page. Yeah.
No, Nero says flaming Mark. By the way, I disagree with him completely.
Oh, I just saw that. I think if your team just needs someone who's like gonna be ahead in jungle and like control an early game, which is like what he was for Huni, because Huni just generates pressure. Like, I actually feel like Rainover would maybe be a good jungler on this current version of Echo Fox too. But like, if you need him to like go win you the game, he's not that guy, I don't think.
Yeah. While we're on the topic of CLG, we haven't really talked about this yet, but it is one of the biggest stories. Mark and Kelby, do you guys think... I am a big Biofrost, I don't want to say fan, but like, I really like that guy. And I think is one of the like best. I think he is like a shining rookie for LCS. Like, not, I know he's not technically a rookie right now, but right, like, he's part of the most recent generation. Like, he came in the league whenever Acadian and Moon and a lot of those other guys came in. I was worried a little bit whenever he went to CLG and things started to fall off. But if he becomes, ends up becoming like the captain and like similar to like what Smoothie is for Cloud9, I'm really excited about that. So I don't know, Mark, how much do you think, like, the narrative is, and when you talk to CLG, like, what happened? They say, well, we decided to have Biofrost be the shot caller. I don't know, Mark and Kelby, if you have a thought on this, but I'm just kind of interested in your take on that whole situation.
I think that it's really impressive how much knowledge Peter was able to pass along to young Vincent in that period of time to build him into the leader that he's become. Peter, still, after leaving the org, contributing back to CLG. Old CLG fans still love that guy.
Yeah, is that much like he contributed back to them. Never mind. Go for it.
When he lost the final? Is that what you were going to say?
No, no, no. It's fine. It's fine. Just, we'll just move on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, what was the actual question?
He was saying, what do you, how much do you attribute to CLG's turnaround to like Biofrost, basically?
I think it's the... Oh, I already gave a meme answer. Never mind. Give a serious answer, Mark, please.
Do you have a serious answer you want to give too, or am I...
I mean, I'm not a part of the team dynamics, but obviously, like, in conversations that I've had, like, everybody seems to think that, like, yeah, it's Biofrost shot calling. Wait, Travis, do you think Nick would get angry if I said, like, Nick said, like, Biofrost shot calling? He wouldn't get angry.
No, a bunch of us have talked about, like, Biofrost talked about it in the interview I did with them. Okay, cool.
Yeah, they've had a fair amount of public messaging that they basically were like, yeah, well, shit was going really bad, and so we just decided, hey, Biofrost, why don't you try shot calling? And then things went really good. So.
It was also, I'm sorry, it was also reflected in the voice, the mic check they do in the LCS stuff.
Yeah.
Like, Biofrost was screaming his ass off.
Nice.
Yeah, so I think it's hard to know exactly who led the conversations and stuff, and, like, how much of it was Zix, because they also completely changed their play style, like I said, where they went from, like, picking these, like, really, like, and you can hold that part against Zix too. I'm not saying, like, if you're going to take the good, you need to take the bad. So, yes, they had really weird drafts and they were not playing well. And then they've picked Orianna and a tank, like, fucking five games in a row. They don't let Darshan, like, counterpick everything, and then they don't pick a roaming mid to, like, try and snowball topside. They completely changed their game plan. So, yes, a large part of that is Biofrost, because now he's like, come down here and gank for me probably and shit like that, as well as telling the team how to play out the mid and late game. But I would say he probably deserves the majority of their turnarounds credit.
Do you guys know how incredibly difficult it is to have such a drastic change from week to week mid-season in LCS, where you just like you're talking about, Mark, changing the play style, and then also, like, I've been managing teams when we were like, we need to do something different with shot calling. You know, we change things. Mm-hmm. We're going to have this person shot call. We're going to, like, lead this role change. It's really hard. The fact that Bio has done such a good job and on such a short, you know, like, 1 week turnaround, essentially, from when they had the AMA, made that decision, or, you know, whatever happened behind the scenes, and then come out on LCS week, is, like, pretty incredible. Super dope. Should not be understated.
Cool. I just wanted to bring that up because I felt it was worth talking about, and sometimes we just skip past stuff because maybe we don't grab the right caller or somebody doesn't bring it up. Vapo, thank you so much for calling in.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thanks, dude.
Bye-bye.
Moving on. By the way, shout out to MellowJello100, who just broke the record, set the record, 10,000 bits for the channel, overtaking Camo China as the bit leader. I'll be interviewing whoever's the bit leader after the show.
But there's no way anybody could beat him, right, Travis?
No, I don't think so, Kelby. Unless it was you trying to get me to talk about the Chainsmokers with you. Hydran3L has subbed, and Mr. Fanatic7 have subbed. We got Noah on the show. Noah, where are you calling from?
Hey, I'm calling from Valdosta, Georgia.
You're calling from Georgia?
Yeah, Valdosta.
Okay, I turned you up. Maybe you can turn yourself up a little bit more, too.
Okay, hold on. Let me try.
I will admit that for a short time I thought you were Noah Winston. That you,
I was so excited
that you were Noah. Well, I'm excited. I'm still excited, Kelly, because we're gonna talk to Noah from Georgia.
Yeah. I'm equally excited for this Noah too.
Yes, I could tell in the tone of your voice.
A little less, maybe a little less excited is fair to say.
Yeah, Noah. Listen, Noah. I'm sorry that my guests are making you feel, you know, unwelcome. I am super
that's
excited to have
guest.
You.
Guest. Yo, that's my.
No. I am not a guest.
I was talking about. And by the way, Noah Winston, for what's worth, not a Twitch subscriber, and you are. So you are a more valuable human being than Noah Winston. What would you like to talk about on the show today, Noah?
I was wondering how, North America has often been called, stacked in terms of jungle talent. Like, we have Sven Skarin, X-Smithy, Mike Young, Dardock, in a way. We hear all about all these, good junglers, but we don't have, a clear top-tier list of junglers. And I feel like a lot of the teams blame their jungler. Like, you always see it about Sven Skarin, but, you all see Rainover, too. Are these guys good junglers and just being scapegoated, or... what's going on? And obviously, who's the best jungler? Who do you want on your team, sought after?
The best jungler. So Dardock was looking really hot until recently.
I would still say he's been all right. The game that they lost to... Fuck, who'd they just lose to?
Clutch.
It was he got the first two turrets of the game with jungle pressure, had a massive, CS and XP lead over... Lyra, and then they had a 3k gold lead going into 20 minutes or whatever it was, and they just couldn't actually get the good fights. And maybe his engages were off more because he was on Sejuani instead of Zac or something. I still think he's the best performing jungler this split, but jungle is the role that is most dependent on team in terms of how you look. Sven Skarin, 2016 spring, looked like hot fucking garbage, just dying all the time on that Yellow Star team. And then 2016 summer, it was Biofrost. And now they have a game plan of camp bottom lane and get priority mid with Bjergsen and 4-man bot lane. And he looks fucking amazing and is the best jungler in NA, arguably. So I think it's pretty team dependent, which is why you have a hard time making a clear list.
Cop in chat says X-Smithy's the best. He's just on a bad team.
Cop, do you want to call in?
Cop never wants to call in. Him, Tony, all these people are just coming to the Twitch chat. They voice their opinions. They criticize people. Then they don't want to call in. Either way. Somebody else says Levi is the answer, by the way.
I think Levi is going to have a lot of communication issues coming in. I think that's clearly what's going to happen.
If you watch Academy, it's already the case. He's clearly good. He's clearly not ready for LCS exactly yet.
Yeah.
Give it 2 years. He might be able to talk, and then maybe he'll be NA, you know how they get washed when they come to NA, Rainover?
That's a little far. Two years is a little much. I also don't think jungler is that stacked either. When I think about stacked roles, I actually think mid and AD carry.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know who's actually really bad. High statistically is really bad, but he supposedly brings a bunch of other stuff, so it's hard to criticize him. Turtle might be your worst AD carry, maybe Deathly, but those guys are still putting up decent numbers. It's really hard to say who's bad. Arrow's putting up some bad numbers, but he's also with Lemon, and he looks good in team fights.
Cop might be worst NA carry.
Ooh.
AD carry.
Come on, man. He's just a viewer now. Didn't you see him say that? Oh, holy shit, by the way. Mellow Jello just overtook Camo. Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
You were in the other channel when it happened.
All right, sorry.
You got very excited about that.
Oh, yeah. I just looked up and I saw it. And I was oh, shit.
See, anyways, it's adding excitement and tension to the show. That's why I did it, not for the money. Noah wants to know about junglers, though. Mark, who would you pick up? If you could draft any jungler for your team, who would it be? And I guess your answer is going to be it depends on the rest of the team.
Yeah, I
think X-Smithy's really good too.
But I would probably take Smithy just because I feel like he's very stable and can play some different styles. But I don't think jungle's that stack with Onda, Rainover, Lyra.
Smithy's getting old.
And some other people. Old age doesn't matter for a jungler, dude.
Yeah.
Say that to St. Vicious.
Yeah, I think jungle, it's not too as mechanically intense as the lane, so you don't get the age fall off like you do in mechanically intensive roles. Xsmithie has like the, I feel like he has the work ethic and the maturity to be able to efficiently improve his game over time. Like someone towards the level of Dardock might be too hot-headed to realize his own mistakes where Xsmithie could.
What about Lyra? Because last year when we were doing League Weekly, Mark, you loved Lyra.
Yeah. I don't love him as much anymore.
Damn. And that happens, you know. Sometimes in relationships, you know, you just, you kind of fall out, you know.
Sometimes the dude looks like a fucking god.
And then he leaves you outside an office building for an hour without answering your calls or text messages.
Does that mean that you used to consider Kelby a fucking god?
That's what I took from it. I loved him more than I do now, I think is my point.
Kelby sounds almost as bad as my ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, oh, he's not great, Noah. I'll tell you that much.
I dated a Noah once.
Kelby, I don't know if you have any thoughts on the jungle topic.
No, I don't have anything. Mark has all the answers.
Okay. Hey, there's Brittany. Hi, Brittany. All right. Let's wrap this up. Noah, anything else you want to add to the call?
You guys are the best content about League of Legends.
Thank you.
I just want you guys to know that. Thank you. I watch your guys' podcast first.
Oh, thanks. Who do you watch second?
I don't. I think I watch like League Cast, but it's just because I've run out of Hotline League to watch.
Okay, gotcha. Thanks so much, Noah. Go ahead.
Do you watch The Countdown?
No. Does it have you in it?
Yeah.
Okay, I will watch it.
It's the first 30 minutes of the LCS broadcast.
Look up this Saturday and Sundays. It's pretty good. Sunday in particular is really fun.
This coming one, or you mean the one that just passed?
No, the Sunday that just happened.
Okay.
Was good, I think.
Yeah, the Reddit was giving a lot of love.
Is it in podcast form, or do I have to watch
the video? Oh, no, yeah, you should watch it visually.
It's not a podcast show. I don't know why Mark brought it up. It's the first 30 minutes of the LCS podcast.
Did I miss something?
He said you guys are my favorite podcast.
Yeah, I thought he said content.
Oh, well.
What'd you say, Noah?
He said he watches this podcast first.
Well, let Noah answer the question.
He's an old man, Travis.
Noah, what did you say? Hotline League is your favorite what?
It's my favorite podcast, but Travis and Mark are like my favorite League of Legends content. I deliver pizza, and while I'm on deliveries, I listen to Hotline League.
Nice. Are you delivering pizza right now?
I wish.
Who do you deliver for?
Domino's.
Oh, hey, that's my dude. No. Right. All right. Noah, I really liked you. You need to quit Domino's and work
Kelby
for
Pizza having Hut, snooty ass pizza for winning Hut, on pizza.
Pizza Hut is better than Domino's, in my opinion.
Pizza
I don't know
Hut
if Domino's.
Honey Sriracha, and that's it, and everything else sucks.
$10 dinner box, Mark. Are you fucking kidding me?
I actually don't know what that is.
Then you can't talk. You don't know.
I order from Fresh Brothers. They're a really nice local Los Angeles chain.
That's fine. But if you're going to do a chain stuff.
No, thank you for your service to our country.
Best cyber skin.
I'll continue. Okay. Great way.
That's awesome.
That to end. All right.
I can just imagine being like, fuck yes, dude. Finally. Yeah. This is the cyber skin I was waiting for.
He's like, I've not been able to identify with any of the other skins or champions ever in this game. You know, like there's all the hulked out people. There's these hot women. I just want to be a pizza delivery character, you know? Now I finally can be. Let's see. We got Platypus, who subbed. Justin P14, who says that Mark Chester, SOTL Desu, Ulti subbed, and so did Zane Starkiller. Thank you so much. And Mark has saved the best for last, everyone, because we've got, for the third time, returning caller to the show, Twitch subscriber extraordinaire, straight from Europe itself, Davidson's on the show. How's it going, Davidson?
The traitor?
Your own Swede.
Yes.
Is this the Benedict Arnold?
Yes, the traitor to Europe. Davidson, what do you want to talk about on the show today?
Well, Benedict Arnold did it backwards, didn't he? He wanted to work
for he would be European Benedict Arnold.
Or England, yeah.
This is not a history show. What do you want to talk about, Davidson?
So I want to talk about how the NLCS will be peaking this year, and without big changes, it won't be able to compete with ELCS. In the long run.
He was a triple agent, everyone. We thought that he was on the side of NA.
No. I'm going to explain myself a little bit more.
Okay.
So, personally, I still think that EU is a shithole in some ways. But if they do the business side correctly, they can grow in franchising the next year. Mm-hmm. And then EU players will have the need to go to NA. Yeah. And I think that's kind of scary for NA. So with peaking this year, that's what I mean with that. They have a lot of EU players, so they can do well at Worlds and MSI.
So your argument is that long-term NA should be concerned for EU because EU is, after all this time, going to figure out how to do the business side?
Yep.
Okay. But what about the opposite argument, where NA just magically finds talent?
But that won't happen.
But well, that's, I could say the exact same thing.
But yeah, that's so true, though. But it will never happen.
Sure. But
no possibility.
So why do you think that this is the year that EU figures out how to get players to be more engaging, to get them to create more content, to do better on the monetization?
I think it's because franchising is coming next year.
To remove all the regional budget problems that exist with not having like a centralized market like US has to tap into.
And before we get too far down that rabbit hole as well, when NA moved to franchising, the base salary became 75K for the year as opposed to 30, which it was, I believe. And yet nobody basically gets paid the base salary. Everyone is way, way above that. Romain did some interview, I think it hit the front page, where he's like, yeah, the average salary is 300K. So I don't know if franchising and an increased minimum salary gets you to NA's salaries.
Yeah, I see that, but I just think that in 2019, if the ELCS, I don't know if they are public with it yet, if they franchise ELCS, I think they will go more locally and try and branch out in that way. I hope that players will kind of draw from their nationalities and try and get a base from countries, so we can have a little bit more of... Because when you involve countries, you have your own identity. You can use that to incentivize fans to buy stuff and watch content, even if it's not that good and you have a crappy accent like I do.
I like your accent.
Thanks. Amen. But I still think that NLCS have a huge advantage in that. You can just see that 100 Thieves, like, I'm just totally sold on 100 Thieves. That's my favorite team. I've never liked another team. I'm a huge fangirl right now of them.
What makes you a fangirl? Is it Nade Shot?
I haven't even heard about that dude for like 5 months ago, and I just loved him straight away. You can just see that he's just a genuine good person.
That's true.
I don't know, Travis, you love talking about how shitty Europe is. That's almost your favorite topic. Do you think franchising will allow them to hold on to their talent that's not on G2? Well, actually, no, that doesn't even apply anymore, right?
Well, it's complicated, because even in a world where we have financial parity with Europe, America is still the best country in the world, so they're going to want to come here, I think.
God damn.
I would Travis, agree in certain that.
You're smarter than I give you credit for sometimes, you know?
No, I mean, okay, it is true that currently right now NA has a huge advantage where you can just make way more money. I love it when chat catches up to a big statement I make, because right now people are just spamming USA. I think that will start to go away. The financial gap will close, especially because I actually kind of hope it goes away, because I think right now NA players are paid way too much.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. Yeah. I think if the gap closes, it's not going to be because like EU starts printing money. It's going to be because like NA realizes they should not be printing money.
Well, I think you are going to lose. Like, imagine a world where the bottom four EU teams in terms of like financial situation get replaced with like really big sports organizations. Not to mention the fact that, by the way, I believe there are probably a lot of people who did not get into the NA franchise that will probably try to pick up EU franchise. So you'll have NA owners trying to get in because they want to be a part of it.
I think they want the money that they think NA has.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard rumors that like people that got rejected for NA franchising are going to apply for EU franchising. And I think other people have said this publicly, so I don't think I'm the first one saying it, but like it's definitely happening. I don't know if those guys are going to get in or not, but there are definitely NA entities, North American entities that want to have a team, didn't get North America, so they're going to try to go to Europe.
Just make them all fucking soccer teams so we can have the NBA versus soccer.
Yeah, I think they really should move the LSS studio to London. So the Premier League teams.
I don't think that's going to happen at all with I mean, not that I'm a expert on European politics, but I think with the Brexit stuff, that chances, because it's going to be so hard to get visas and all that shit. I think it's going to be a lot harder. If you could just tell that.
I don't think that's true at all.
Maybe. I mean, I'm an ignorant American talking about European politics.
They can, like, go a hard bargain for a couple of years, but it won't be like the United States.
Yeah, I don't know. Riot seems to focus a lot on Germany and a lot on France, and I think that there's probably a reason why, which is, and I expect that's because of visa issues or financial issues or whatever. Yeah, I mean, didn't
sausages.
Wasn't there an issue getting whenever Riot did? Yeah, remember Gambit had a hard time getting into London.
Oh yeah,
with their team whenever all that happened. Yeah, like I do think that that the UK probably has more crazier challenges than Germany or France.
Shouldn't they just move to Sweden then? Everyone is allowed here.
Yeah, Sweden fucking owns.
I would like that. They did Stockholm, right? I love Sweden. Yep. I would love to go there more frequently, but.
Travis, you see the thing posted in the Discord under general? The people watch Hotline League changed my mind.
What? Oh, I like that. That's good.
Yeah, tweet that one.
Yeah. Either way, you very much derailed this.
Sorry. Sweden, high taxes and shit.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait. Do you want to go that path?
Well, I don't know much about Sweden. Isn't it high taxes?
The funny thing is that we don't even have like you may think like we have like 15% extra taxes or something like you do. Overall,
well, your social services are much better, right?
We can have everything we want. We just pay like maybe 7.5% more taxes on average. Like it's hella little, especially for middle class citizens.
Guys,
I'm not
is
saying
this the conversation we're having on Hotline League?
Oh right now? Sorry.
All right, we're extending the show for another hour. Mark and Davidson are going to discuss U.S. Sweden inequality.
I was just saying, I'm sorry. I don't know how it applies to players who play video games for a living and don't want to live in that country. Yeah. I don't know what that shit means.
You think players have any conscious knowledge of tax rates and pro players probably aren't even fucking paying taxes.
I think Riot Games has knowledge of that.
Yeah. Anyway, where did we go from? Oh, yes. Is North America? Yes, I do think to some extent North America's advantage in importing players will decrease. That's fine. We'll just get them from Korea instead.
I think there's more aspects to it as well because how do you pronounce it? Vietnam?
Yeah.
The Vietnamese server has become its own now. And I think that would grow.
That's a whole new crop of talent.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I think they could do what they did to EU and they would just continue to do that in the up and coming regions until it just depletes and they just fall on grace. Rip.
Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts before we say goodbye to Davidson?
No.
thank you, Davidson. Jeez. Really appreciate you calling in as always.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you.
See you.
Thanks, dude.
So
I like that guy a lot.
I like him too. I'm sorry, it's good having him on. He always so self-conscious about his accent, but it always works out. A little update here. Doublelift has said to Kelby, tweeted at him and said, "Hey, my best friend, it would be really cool if you came on Hotline League with us sometime." And Peter replied and said, "Only because you asked, good buddy. When is it?" So maybe he'll come on. We'll let you all know. But fuck Peter. All right. Let's let's wrap up the show. Bold. Oh. OPTSM fan has now overtaken Mellow Jello 100. I need to wrap up the show and we'll go for a couple minutes and I'll do a countdown timer and then we'll interview whoever comes on. But thank you to OPTSM fan for overtaking Mellow Jello. Mellow Jello just had to allow it, but it got auto censored. Mellow Jello typed it all caps, motherfucker. So please don't open the link. Go yet. We're gonna wind down the show, but I'll be doing an interview with whoever ends up donating the most bits or hitting up the most bits.
How many bits are or how much is a dollar? I guess
It's 100 bits is a US dollar.
$120 that OPD has donated.
Yeah. So, Tranmobile just hit the sub as well.
Hey, Brian.
Mellow Jello just hit another 5,000 bits. So now number one.
Right?
We're gonna wrap the show while this is happening.
Well, not you. I was asking Travis.
Yeah, I think it's Brian. Yeah.
You work with him, right, Kelby? Or you used to at least?
To work with me at Twitch. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Brian, dude. Brian's super chill.
Brian's awesome.
All right. While this is still going on, Mark, what do you got going on this week?
I don't know. Last week I lied and I said I'd probably put out a blame game. Maybe that's 2 weeks ago. And I'll lie again this week. Yeah, there's some blame game shit coming out, guys. Totally. Follow my YouTube channel that hasn't posted in weeks/months. Because it's definitely coming this week. And follow my Twitter for the same reasons. Because I tweet very important things about League of Legends.
No offline content. No blame game.
Offline TV should post. It's also been a long time since offline TV.
Yeah, that's my point. You're like, it's like, what is Mark even doing? He does this show. He does the
offline TV content should be on the way. There should be one this week for sure. Lock it in, just like you can lock in the blame game.
No Zell or Mark content.
I'm real busy, man. Real busy guy.
Kelby, what do you got?
Are we doing shout outs?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, as you guys know, this week. Are you fucking stupid? Of course I'm shouting out the Chainsmokers. You guys are so stupid. Why would you actually believe that anything else would be worth this time? Everything that they did from 2012 to 2016 was just so fire. So many great remixes, original songs, the best shows I've ever been to. Their Ultra 2016 performance is the best set I've ever seen in my entire life. They decided to move on and make pop music. We're all really sad about it. But you know what? As artists, they get to choose the kind of music that they want to pursue and make. And that's totally fine. It's not what I'm into. They're finding a lot of success. I still really appreciate everything that they did in that time era. Thank you guys so much. Please unblock me on Twitter.
I was going to ask because they still be blocked.
You didn't care that you got blocked on Twitter because you don't like their music anymore.
What if they start making EDM again, man? And I just
ask them then.
How am I going to ask them? They have me blocked on Twitter.
Well, you just fucking did it right here. You got 1,000 people watching.
Yeah, Alex, Drew, you guys watch Hotline League, right?
I meant that you can do the Doublelift thing. If they ever make good music again, in your opinion, just do what Travis did with Doublelift and have them all tweet at Chainsmokers to unblock.
This is a Hotline League is a community. It's a platform from which we can affect social change.
To acquire money.
We only use this power for good, for improving the world, whether it's getting Doublelift on the show, getting Chainsmokers to unblock Kelby. This is a show where we affect change, and you guys are all part of it. We're all the machine that will bring forth a new world.
I actually did have an alternative shout out, but I decided last minute that.
Well, what's the other shout out? Because now I'm curious.
So the film director, Terrence Malick, is somebody that I think is probably not somebody that a lot of people watch, but recently I've been. So he
just
makes
names real quick.
Tree of Life, Song to Song.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Knight of Cups.
Fucking Thin Red Line. Start smoking weed your first time.
Yeah, no, so
recently.
He's probably the most accessible and commercially successful, like pretty straight arty film directors that's working right now. And I think that he has some really good stuff that's not for everybody. But if you want something that is super highly like visually and like sensory simulating and also kind of a more of a spiritual experience, I would suggest checking out Tree of Life. And then if you like that and you want to go even more artsy, you do Knight of Cups. I just really, really like Terrence Malick right now.
Have you watched Annihilation?
Yeah.
What'd you think of that?
No spoilers.
What'd you say?
Yeah.
No spoilers.
Oh, no spoilers. Yeah.
Yeah, no spoilers. So I like, they're pretty different films, but I like Ex Machina a lot more. Alex Garland's film before it.
Yeah.
My favorite movie reviewer, yourmoviesucks.org, has a quick review on it that pretty much exactly mirrors my opinions. Like, there's a lot of things about that film that I really like, and there's some things about that film that I'm just like, didn't like it all and thought were kind of shitty. So it's okay. Like a hate love relationship, but those are the kind of movies that I like to see get made, and I will always financially support, because it's not going to do super well at the box office, but it's so different than like all the other cookie cutter bullshit that gets put out there. That's fine.
I'm looking forward to Avengers.
Sometimes you want something that's going to stimulate you more than just like, oh, wow, here's another, 2-hour action scene where every single dramatic scene is footnoted by some comedic relief, which is everything that Disney produces now in Star Wars and the Marvel comic universe. So,
I would say my thoughts on it were I liked it. And then there was some the stuff, the ending. And then I didn't really like
Gaming.
It.
Officially then, would like to know, what about Before Sunrise?
Well, how about you let me finish my fucking point, Counterlogic Gaming? And then I went home and I read more about it, and I hate reading movie reviewers because it feels like they're all trying to write an English thesis. That made me dislike the movie more, and then someone just wrote like a really plain one, and it made me like the movie a little bit better. So in the end, I think I'm just like, it was all right. But like you said, I appreciate that movie got made over some other stuff.
Counterlogic made the capital D face where it's like,
I'm sorry.
You just insulted an entire esports organization, Mark. Good. Best of luck with us ever getting Biofrost back on the show.
Oh, shit. My God.
What about Before Sunrise, to answer CLG's question?
I don't think I've watched it.
I've seen the whole trilogy. It's a really good trilogy. No, it's I forget the director's name, but he did Before Sunrise, after blah blah whatever. It's a trilogy of films with Ethan Hawke and
Linklater.
Yeah. Ethan Hawke and what's his face? I can't remember. Or what's her face? I can't remember. But yeah, they're good.
Kelby, you should go watch.
He did a Scanner Darkly. Oh, he did Boyhood.
Yeah. I love
He did Waking Life.
Kelby.
Yeah, Richard.
There's a YouTube channel, I forget the name of it, that did a documentary called Dicks. And it's about if you like directors that are assholes on set and like if you need to be this. And he like went and interviewed a bunch of different people, including one director, I forget, who's like, I don't think that there are any like your crazy artsy fartsy people, but you would probably enjoy it. I think it was actually really well done. All right. For me, my shout-outs at the end of the show, you can hit up my Patreon. Actually, if you just go to travisgafford.com/support, that's got a bunch of links to different ways you can help me, including ways that don't cost money, like just following me on Instagram or whatever. Again, if you haven't tweeted to a double lift to tell him to come on the show, please do. Because
we already won that battle.
No. He said he can't make it right now because he's at dinner with Parth. And so, ending the discussion of if he was going to come on. So we need to reignite it.
What he's at dinner with Parth right now. It's not like we were trying to get Doublelift right now, right? Like,
yeah, I'm just, I'm not sure that he's Peter and I both know, or Kelby Monday. And I both know Peter. Hit that Twitter interaction does not mean that he's going to come on the show. We need to keep pushing. Always keep pushing.
We can reevaluate next week as well.
Next up, I'm going to be at South by Southwest. I'm going to be in Austin this week. If you see me there, if you're there, say hi. I love Austin. I love everybody there. It's pretty cool. I'm going to try and make a vlog out of the trip. Want to also really quickly give a shout out to Burnt Cooter, who subbed, Stumpy Nugget, Lagunas for coming in at the tier 3, T-Rex, and Dodyrus for gifting a sub to Joe Mama 1199. Thanks everyone for watching.
Wait, is that the pronunciation?
What?
Dodyrus?
That's how I always say it.
I thought it was Daddyrus or something. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why, I just thought it was more emphasis on the dad than the Dyrus part.
Thanks everyone for watching. Stick around, I'm going to do an interview with a stranger.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.